Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. Wow, overwhelming. What cheers and applause we have from our Garfinkel family live studio audience here. All right, we have a ton of very exciting things to talk about from this past week's Torah portion. But first of all, I would like to give a shout out to an old and wonderful friend, Ariel Levitan, who we went to Stanford together, believe it or not, and she has been responsible for, the Stanford magazine and keeping the class together. It's really a very special thing. Anyway, she wrote me out of the blue and said she appreciated the podcast so much and made a donation. You can sponsor Monday Motivations, by the way. I don't push that, but it is a very nice thing. So I would like to give our gratitude, Hakarat Hatov, our gratitude to Ariel and her beautiful, wonderful family. Thank you so much for the sponsorship. And most of all, we're happy that you are listening and enjoying Monday Motivation. All right, so here we go. We are going to talk about time. Time. The lessons of time. This last week's Torah portion has two incidents in particular where time plays a key role, and we will see how that is very relevant for our lives. All right, the first one is actually very funny. People don't think the Torah is funny. The Torah is actually hilarious, hysterical. Listen to this. All right, so the Egyptian people have suffered through nine plagues that have totally and completely decimated their country. Okay? And we're coming up to the 10th. Anyone know what the 10th is? Drum roll. Like that drum roll? It is the plague of the firstborn, that the firstborn Egyptian will die. And the Torah says that there is no house, that there was not an Egyptian that died. All right. And so when Moshe tells the Egyptians about this impending plague, he says the following in chapter 11, verse 4, Perikud Aleph Pasuk Daled, says an unbelievable thing. Vayomer Moshe. Moshe says, Kolomar Hashem. This is what the Almighty says. Kachatzos alayla ani yotze besoch mitzrayim. What does that mean? Kachatzos alayla. Like midnight, literally around midnight, I am going to go out amidst Mitzrayim and all the firstborn are going to get it. Now, the commentators point out, what is this business, around midnight? Around midnight, like what, God can't be precise. Hashem doesn't know the clock. Hashem knows the clock better than anyone. So what in the world? It's actually a very, very funny thing. So Rashi and others say a very, very, very funny thing, but it's actually not so funny. So it says that what would happen? What would happen is, let's say the Egyptians' clocks were off by 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, okay? And all of a sudden, all of the Egyptian firstborn started dying. Okay, so you imagine probably millions of people are dying, and God had promised that, and Moshe told the Egyptians that they would, in fact, die, and all of a sudden, you see the Egyptian, magicians and leaders coming out there and say, time out, no, it doesn't count. You were off. It didn't happen at midnight. It was like 2 seconds early or 4 seconds late. No. Didn't go according to the town clock. All of the firstborn died. Okay? And they're saying, no, you're off on a technicality. So it's just unbelievable. First of all, and why would they assume that their clock was right and God's clock was wrong, right? Because they're basically looking for any excuse or any reason not to believe what's happening. And that happens to us all the time. We see the truth. The way the strategy of the Torah is it makes us, what we call today, Monday morning quarterbacks. We are the third person perspective. And we're looking at these Egyptians saying, how could they be so blunt? How could they be so thick in the head? How could they not realize you have people dropping like flies? Okay, Moshe said it was going to happen. Moshe said that God said it was going to happen. You've already experienced 9 plagues, and every one of them came true. And what's going to be? There's going to be 2 seconds off, 10 seconds off. You're going to say, no, sorry. All those people died randomly. They died randomly. It wasn't Hashem. It wasn't Moshe. Can you imagine that level of denial, that level? And folks, we do this all the time. We do this all the time, be it with time, be it with anything else, of having the truth staring us right in the face. But because of our personal bias, it is so difficult to see. All right, and that is this first lesson of the Torah portion that we see relevant with time, that we have our midnights of life. We have our kachatzos halayla, that it's around midnight, right? The facts are staring us straight in the face, but it's for us to take off our biased lenses and take a real and closer look. All right, so that was the warning, and so therefore Moshe said, like midnight, but not at midnight, and that's why he did it. Now, when the actual plague came, it's an unbelievable commentary. I believe it's the Mosnaim LaTorah, Vesorotskin, I believe, and he says an unbelievable, says, Ve'avarti b'kol eretz Yitzrayim, that Hashem literally passed through all of Mitzrayim. What does it mean? It means that, you know how time actually is slightly different in different places? Is that at exactly midnight in every single place as the time zone went across Mitzrayim, across Egypt, that's when the firstborn was taken. And you see an unbelievable thing. God was super precise in his timing. Down to the millisecond, he came through. It was exactly at midnight. All right. So I want to transition to the second factor incident that deals with time. And it is absolutely fascinating mitzvah. It is the first communal mitzvah that we get, the first mitzvah of the Jewish people that we get as an entirety. Okay, and it comes up not much later, right in the next perek, the next chapter, chapter 12, verse 1. And this is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, of the first day of the month. Okay, and what does it say? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron. There it's a term there more. God says to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, oh, so gorgeous. Hachodesh hazed lechem Rosh Chodeshim. All right, that's a bar mitzvah. Okay, but Hachodesh hazed lechem. This Chodesh, this moon, Hazeh, commentators point out that actually God showed Moshe what the new moon looked like. Lachem is for you, Rosh Chodeshim, the first of the months. Rishon hu lachem, it is the first for you, Lechodshei Hashanah, of the months of the year. All right, fun fact, if you would like to trick your friends, here we go, ask them, what is the first month of the Hebrew calendar? And if they actually do know the months, they'll probably say Tishrei. They'll probably say Tishrei, which is when Rosh Hashanah is. But no, that's actually not true. It's actually in biblical counting, that's the seventh month. The first month is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is what we call Nisan, is Chodesh Aviv, this springtime month. Why do the years switch over on Rosh Hashanah? Because there's different years. Even in our year, we have a calendar year, we have a fiscal year. Okay, beyond our subject. But and a little fun fact that you can be the cool cat at your next dinner party and have that fun fact. Okay, so we have Rosh Chodesh. God gives us the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. And then right after that, he gives us the mitzvah of what is called in English Bibles, the Paschal Lamb, the Passover offering, the Korban Pesach. This is us taking little Shepsela. It's not so bad. Oh my gosh, that was awful. And taking this sheep or lamb or goat, baby goat, within a year, and bringing it on the 14th of Nisan, slaughtering it, and then roasting it and eating it at the Passover Seder on the 15th of Nisan later that night. So the commentators ask, why in the world do we need, what is the connection between these two things? The mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh was given in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 12, and then we go off to the Passover offering in verse 3, literally right afterwards. Why? What's the juxtaposition? As we said many times, a fishing pole, how to learn Torah, that things that are next to each other in the Torah are not an accident. So why do I need to know about Rosh Chodesh before I'm going to bring my Paschal lamb? And here we go. Fasten your seatbelts, because this is absolutely crucial to understanding what it means to be Jewish. All right. What is Rosh Chodesh, the first of the month? Don't I have my nice calendar from JNF or JUF or whatever Jewish organization? And maybe we should do a Project 613 calendar. All right, and you have your calendar and that's it. But that's not the way it always was, the way it always was before the temple was destroyed, is that we declared Rosh Chodesh. The Jewish people, you would have witnesses who would come up, they would see that first part of the new moon, that crescent sliver, and they would go up to the Beis HaMikdash, up to the temple, and the Sanhedrin, the high court, would be waiting for them, because there was only certain windows of time where it could come. And even though they had worked this out mathematically, they still had to wait for the Jewish people to come up, and then they would declare Rosh Chodesh. And this is unbelievable. Why? Why? We talked about this a little bit in our Hanukkah podcast. Why is this so important? Because the first of all, it means that we are partners in time with Hashem. Hashem does not want the natural world to be the be-all and end-all. He wants us to be in and above the natural world. He wants us to participate. He does not want us to be passive members of a world that runs itself. He wants us to be involved in it. The moon is out there, doesn't count until two Jews go up to the temple and the Sanhedrin declares Rosh Chodesh. So it shows our partnership with God. It also is a crucial step in us not only leaving Egypt, but having Egypt leave us. It's a key step in the transition from us being slaves to Pharaoh to becoming servants of Hashem. Because what is a slave? What is a slave? A slave, the Sforno says, and the Sforno who was brought down, I first heard this from my Rebbe of blessed memory, Rebbe Moshe Chait Zatzal, who is one of the great people of our this past generation, was the Rosh Yeshiva of Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. And he said, he brought this Sforno down and he said that a slave is someone whose time is not his own. That is what a slave is, someone whose time is not his own. And therefore, Hashem says, before you're going to bring your Paschal lamb, before I'm going to give you that command, I need you to be masters of your own Google calendar. I need you to be the masters of your own time. And therefore, I'm giving you the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh so that you will be balei zman, that you will be in control of your time. You will be masters of what you do and when you do it. And that is the first real step towards freedom. And it's such a powerful first step for freedom that the Passover Haggadah has a very crazy little section in it, right? little bit towards the beginning, it says, Yachol Mirosh Chodesh, I would have thought maybe that I should start speaking about leaving Egypt from Rosh Chodesh. And you're like, what? Hello? We left Egypt on the 15th of Nisan. Why would I have the thought, the Hava Minu, he's saying, Gemara, why would I have the a priori thought? Why would I have even had it come up in my mind that I should start saying the mitzvah of leaving Egypt from the first of the month? You want to know why? This mitzvah, Rosh Chodesh, was so powerful. It so broke the chains of Pharaoh's enslavement into us that we became free. We basically became free in Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so we had to play some things out. We still had to bring the Paschal lamb. We had to do all this other stuff. Okay, but fundamentally, when we can control our Google Calendar, we're not slaves. And folks, that is huge. That is huge. And as I say these words, I'm even afraid to say the words I'm about to say. How do we fill our Google calendars or your Apple calendars or your Outlook calendars or your paper and pencil calendars? How do we fill our time? How do we fill our time? When that screenshot comes up, the screen time on my iPhone every Sunday, it's like, are you up 13%, down 40%, up? And forget if I'm up or down. What's the baseline of how much I'm on it? What's frightening is not necessarily the time we spend on our phones, which is frightening. The time, I want to know how much percentage of my life after 120 years, God willing, will be on retyping things. Retyping. Why cannot iPhone figure out how to make a better keyboard? Why not? Remember those Blackberries you actually push buttons? Wasn't that nice? Okay, so what percentage, you go up to the, you know, after 120 years, it said, well, you spent 1.9% of your life retyping. It's like the autocorrects. Okay, and this is powerful, folks, because the question is, are we masters of our lives? Are we masters of our calendars? Or is our life just go? And all of a sudden we find we're missing hours, and we start missing minutes and hours and days and weeks and years, and we look back, we say, where did it go? Where did it go? And this is the crucial, crucial, crucial message of Rosh Chodesh. Jews, we are very aware of our time. We are very aware of our time. Before I was observant, I don't think I ever thought once about when sunset was. But now sunset is a crucial factor in my day because we need to pray the afternoon service before the sun sets. And also, when is sunrise? And that's crucial to know when prayers need to be said in the morning. And then obviously, sundown we need to know for Shabbos each week and when three stars are out on Saturday night. And then there's Rosh Chodesh and there's all these different times, and it helps us become aware of who we are and what we're doing. You know, I always say for a different schmooze that I'm very happy to make the point here, but it needs more attention. If you want to know who you are, the greatest way to know who you are is to look at your credit card statement at the end of the month. What did you spend your money on? I want to add something else to that. I think another great way to find out who you are is to look at your calendar and how we spend our time. Boy, oh boy, that would be amazing. Look at our bottom line of how we spend our money and how we spend our time. And I think that would be very insightful for who we are and who we would like to be. So God willing, we will take these very powerful lessons about understanding that the truth can be staring us right in the face around midnight and be able to open our eyes and see the truth. And also the second lesson of time, that it is a gift. It is a precious gift. May we all use it well. If we're working, if we're on vacation, there's a time for everything. May we use our time well. God bless. Have a fantastic week. And we look forward to seeing you back right here for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. God bless.